So just sit back and enjoy. What's the name of the song you're doing?
Near the Cross.
Near the Cross, okay.
Thank you, ladies. A beautiful song, beautiful arrangement. Thank you for playing for us this morning. Great. All right, Junior Church may be dismissed at this time. I want to thank everyone for supporting last Sunday. We had a great day, just a wonderful atmosphere. Thank you, ladies, for bringing in the salads and the desserts and all the missionaries that were here last Sunday. It was just a great, wonderful, refreshing day, kind of a shot of vitamins for this preacher. And we appreciate so much your faithfulness and being here. It was a good attendance last Sunday, and just overall, very good. We'll be discussing about the missionaries on Wednesday night, the 14th. We've moved it up to the 14th. Dean and Lolita will be away the first week of April, so we are going to have the business meeting on the 14th to decide the next fiscal year. If you did not get a faith promise sheet last Sunday, there are some on the table there in the back. If you'd like to fill one of those out, we would like to have those returned back to us by next Sunday. And we appreciate that. We'll be saying more about our faith promise and things after our business meeting. We'll be saying more about exactly what all we are going to do and where we are. All right. 2 weeks from today is Easter. Unbelievable. Easter is early this year. April the 4th is Easter Sunday. So we're going to bring a couple messages today and next Sunday in preparation for the resurrection, and which we'll preach on April the 4th. So this morning our message comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Do be in prayer for Greg. Greg is having a balance problem due to the medication. He has fallen twice. He has not hurt himself, but he has had bad headaches as well, but they're not as bad as they were. So do keep Greg in prayer. Also, Nancy's mother is facing another surgery or some type of procedure, but what they've done for her has not worked. Also, Mel Brown is having trouble. He has now another problem with his other foot, creating a sore on it. And Mel's youngest daughter, Mary Ann, had a heart attack. And she, last I heard, was in the hospital at Genesis. And the list just goes on and on and on with people with problems, physical problems, and so forth. So keep all of these in prayer. Now, Luke chapter 23, we're going to begin reading with verse 27. And we're going to be dipping back in to chapter 22 and doing some comparisons. Luke chapter 23, verse 27. And there followed him. There followed him a great company. So the first thing we find is the following. Second, in verse 27, bewailed him and lamented him. They followed him, they bewailed and lamented him. And then thirdly, in verse 35, they stood. They stood. Three things about the people that we want to look at this morning. Followed him, bewailed, lamented him, and stood by him in verse 35. Stood beholding, beholding. As we approach the Easter season, hard to believe that we're there already. A year ago today, we had our building closed. We closed our building on the third Sunday of March last year, and it was closed for 2 full months. Thank God we're back open, and we've been back open since Mother's Day last year. And things seem to be getting better each week, the number seems to be coming down. Vaccinations are going to be available for anybody that wants them soon. Anybody can get it. That's going to be soon. And so things are becoming much better here in the state of Ohio. There's still other states that are having trouble. But thank the Lord we are back in the building and we can meet here this morning. And as we approach the Easter time, spring is my favorite, most favorite time of the year. It shows signs of life. After you come out of the dark and deadness of winter, things begin to green and trees begin to bud. Trees are coming out already. Trees are already, the leaves are, on some of them are already out, some of the maples. Kind of playing tricks. Nature's playing tricks. It gets up to about 65. One day it was 71. And then at night it gets down to 24. I want to tell you that's a big swing from 24 to 70 and during the day and during the night. But we thank God for the springtime. And Easter was designated in April. That's the Passover. First of April was the Passover. And so it's always a great time of the year. Sign of life. The sign of life. Now, it takes individuals to make up a company. It says, there followed him a great, in verse 27, a great company. Company is made up by individuals. Individuals. And we're going to look at an individual this morning. And it's amazing how the individuality fits right in to what I just pointed out concerning the following, the bewailing, the weeping, and the standing. And so we're going to look back in chapter 22. We're going to be flipping back and forth and seeing the individual, because every company, that's a mass of people, is made up of individuals. God sees us individually. Individually. We are here this morning collectively, but God sees us individually. Now, so you can just keep your finger there on how your Bible's laid out, but we'll be flipping back and forth between chapter 22 and chapter 23. They followed him, they bewailed and lamented him, and they stood to behold him. Now, look with me, if you will, to chapter 22, verse 54, as we look at the individuality of the company. Then took they him and led him, speaking of Christ, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed. The great company of Luke 23, verse 27, it says, they followed him, a great company. Not all people in a company follow the Lord in the same degree. And as time progresses on, and we get closer to the end, and the returning of our Lord to this earth, we see this problem becoming more prevalent. Was Peter a follower? Yes. Does it describe to him that he followed? Yes. But it tells us how he followed. Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. Now, there are some things that's in chapter 22 that describes the individual that is not in the application of the verses we read over in chapter 23, verse 27. There's something in the individual that is more detailed than in the company. In the company. When they followed collectively. When they lamented and bewailed, they did so collectively. When they stood to behold, they did so collectively. But what does one do individually? Individually. And there's things that's described here in the individual that is not ascribed to the company. So the first thing I want you to notice is the distance. You can be at a distance and still be following. You can be at a distance and still be following. But following at a distance creates problems in the individual life. Peter, who was a leader, who was to be in the out front, is now back behind. Peter, who was to be the one as an example for all to look to, is now in the rear. At the rear. And that has created some things in Peter's life individually that is not in the company. Follow along with me very carefully. This is somewhat of a complicated message, but it doesn't need to be complicated if we'll listen clearly and the Holy Spirit of God be our teacher. When you put distance, that gives you or it creates for you things that can be between you and Christ when you put distance. The closer you are to Christ, the less space there is for things to be created between you. So the first thing we find that is different between the individual and the collective group is a distance. A distance. They stood and beheld him. That means they were within view. They were within view. Peter was not. We live our life every day, and if we can't get and keep in view our Savior every day, we're too far back. And that has opened up now something in Peter that is not found in the collective group. Verse 55 of chapter 22. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down, Peter sat down. The collective group never sat down. Peter sat down. Why? Because there is a distance. And when you have a distance, you have now made it possible for things to come in between you and Christ that should not be there. Peter sat down. In the temple, which originally was the tabernacle, was all types of furniture and all different types of things to which the priesthood was to function. Tables, a laver of water, showbread, altar of incense, candlestick, in beyond the veil, the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubims, and all that's involved in the Holy of Holy place. One thing you never found in the temple. There was a piece of furniture that was never found in the temple or the tabernacle. And when God told Moses what to build, how to build it, and instructed him very clearly what was to be in it, there was never provision for a chair. There was never a chair in the tabernacle. There was never a chair in the temple because a priest's work was never done. There was always something to do. There was never a seat to sit down. It was not there. And you can go back into the book of Leviticus, back of the book of Exodus, and you can study it thoroughly, and you'll never find a chair in the tabernacle. The priesthood never sat down. We today, collectively, are called the royal priesthood. A chosen generation, a peculiar people. We are called the priesthood of God, and our Bibles are called the temple of God. And too many of God's people have put distance in these latter days between their heart and Christ, and it has created for them a laxity to where they are sitting instead of serving. And they are at home this morning with no concern that this is the Lord's Day. Many people are using this virus as an excuse to sit home, sit in their chair, and sip on their coffee while they listen to the service. That's laxity. Now, we're not talking about sitting down physically. We all sit down physically. Matter of fact, there's many days I feel like sitting down when I'm standing, and this morning is one of them. I'm not talking about a physical position to sit down. There's the spiritual application. Once there's the distance, then there's something created for the individual, and Peter found it, and he sat down upon it, while the collective group, where they were following, but they weren't sitting. You can't follow and sit at the same time. Sitting is not a position that is included in following. Spiritually, our work is never to stop. Our work is never to end. Our work is never over. Day after day after day after day, as we as God's people are following Christ, we as God's people are in that identity that we are followers of Christ. We can never, my friend, and in these latter days, we can never allow laxity to come between our heart and Christ. Because when we do, it opens our heart up to create things that will get us in more trouble. So the first thing Peter did, different than the collective, was he began to put distance. To put distance. That created for him a chair, which was never in the priest's office, never in the temple, and is never to be included in the child of God's life, because there's always something for the child of God to do for Christ. There's always something for the Christian to do. His work is never ended. Then that opens up the door now to be questioned. In verse 56 of 22, a certain maid questioned him, "Aren't you a Christian?" Listen, Listen very carefully, my friend, because this is coming to you and to I quicker than you ever believed. Aren't you one of those followers of Christ? Didn't I see you with Him? Now, what a rebuke. The last time I saw you, you was with Him. Now you're here setting apart from Him. The world knows the conditions of the Christians, and the Christians don't know the condition they're in. But the world sees it. Didn't I see you with Him? Aren't you one of His followers? The collective group is not being questioned. They're following. The collective group is not being challenged to who they are following. Everybody knows they're following that man. They're following Him. But here's one that has put distance in between, and the distance has created a chair to where he's sitting now, and he's not sitting with the right people. He's associating with the wrong people, and yet he's questioned about, what are you doing? Don't you belong to them? And he said, no, I do not. I don't know Him. It's coming. It's coming. And it's coming fast. Where you, as a child of God, if you stand for this book and you are a close follower of Christ and you stand for the biblical principles of this book, you are going to be challenged. Are you a child of God? Are you one of those followers of Jesus? You're going to be challenged and you're going to be questioned. And what are you going to say? What are you going to say? The collective group is not mentioned in the individuality activity. But individual activity absolutely does affect the collective group because it puts a reflection upon them. How many people, as we approach these latter days, how many people are going to deny they ever knew the Lord whenever they are placed in front of officials and when they're placed in front of new laws that's being passed? And don't you carry a Bible? Didn't you say you believe in the Bible? Don't you say you're a Christian? Don't you? And people are going to start backing up. People are going to start backing up. When communism took over Romania, and listen, folks, I know what I'm talking about because I spent a lot of years there. Before communism ever fell. And they rounded them up. Immediately, once communism took over and overthrew the king, they had a king. And they overthrew the king, and the king went into hiding into Europe. And communism came in and confiscated the land, confiscated the animals, confiscated the forest. They just said this all belongs to the government. And then they started, after they took all the animals and all the equipment and all the farmland and all the forest, and they took everything, now we got to go after those people that claim to be a Christian. And they went out and held them out, herded them like cattle. And they went village to village to village, to town to town to town, and went to home to home to home, challenging, are you a Christian? Do you confess Jesus Christ? And people said, yes, you come with me. You come with me. And they never saw home again. What are you going to say? When there's distance, I want to emphasize again, the collective crowd are following, but they're not following at a distance. When people start following at a distance and put space, that creates an opportunity for a chair. And I want to tell you, when a chair is created in the child of God's life spiritually, it always puts them with the wrong people. And those same people start questioning and challenging, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Aren't you one of His followers? We saw you with Him. Poor David had lapse of courage and lapse of faith at times. And when Saul was breathing down his neck to slaughter him and kill him, David unbelievably ran and stayed with the Philistines. And he was with the Philistines, the worst enemies of God's people. And he stayed with Achish, the king of the Philistines. And they got ready to go to battle. And they was going out, the Philistines and six other lords, six other kings gathered together to one massive army of the Philistines to go out and fight the Jews. And it was the battle of Gibeah where Saul would lose his life. And as they were getting ready to go, and all these armies were coming together and setting up here right alongside Achish, the king of Gath, was David, and all those other six kings said, what's he doing here with us? This is the man, they sang, Saul slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. What's he doing here beside of you? It's pretty bad when the unsaved heathen have to rebuke us, challenge us. And they said, he's not going with us. We'll get in the battle and he'll turn against us. He's not going to battle. And the enemy actually kept David from going into battle against his own people. Distance. I want to tell you, my friends, in these last days, you better crawl up and sit on the lap of Jesus every day. You better crawl up and put your arms around His neck and lay your head on His bosom every day. Because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And when they start coming, and they'll come, you take notice of that, all of you sitting out there this morning in Facebook land that should be in a building today. You got no excuse for sitting home. We're thrilled that you connect, and we're thrilled that you listen, and we're thrilled that you're along with us and watching. You don't have any fellowship except with that cup of coffee, and you are sitting. You're sitting with a cup of coffee rather than with God's people. And when they come to question you, what are you going to say? And they rounded people up like cattle in Romania and other countries and put them in prisons. Had the mockery, and I said this, and I'm going to tell you, Richard Wurmberg, he wrote about it in his book, that they had the Lord's table in the prisons, and they collected up. People went to the bathroom over in the corner. There was no bathroom facility. There was no running water. Concrete floors. And they were absolutely naked. No clothes on whatsoever. And so they gathered up the urine. They gathered up the dung and said, now come forward and take the Lord's table. Brutal man. Brutal man. And if you say, I am not, You would be headed outside to a firing squad. How many of us are close enough to Christ to go with Him all the way? You're going to find out. The day of playing is over. The day of reality is upon us. And here we come to this Easter time, and the majority of this world don't have a clue what's going on. He denied Him. He followed Him, but afar off. He sat down because the distance created a place to sit. Collectively, God's people don't sit. And then challenged, He denied. Something the collective group did not do. All right, let's go back over to chapter 23. Verse 27, and there followed Him a great company of people and of women, which bewailed and lamented Him. Second, we find the weeping. We find the weeping. And Jesus is going to instruct them. If you're not in the collective faithful group, you can't get the lesson. Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me." They were weeping for Him. It says, bewailed and lamented Him. They were wailing and weeping and lamenting Christ. And Christ said, "Don't weep for me. You weep for yourselves and for your children, for the days are coming." If you want to weep, you better weep for yourself. "For the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps that never gave suck. Blessed are they that have no children.'" "And they shall begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us and to cover us.'" Verse 31, "If they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Today's the green tree. That's the prosperous time. That's the beautiful time. That's the springtime. Things are green. And they do these things when the prosperity is. And they do these things when life is prevailing. What are they going to do? What's going to happen when it's dry? And there is no life. There is no prosperity. What will be done during those days? Now for the lamenting. Very clear, Jesus said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves." Now, He says to the collective group, if you're going to weep, make it personal. Follow with me. If you're going to weep and you're going to lament, make it for yourself. Make it personal. Back to chapter 22. Verse 62. "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." There it is individually. Exactly what Jesus told him collectively to do. Peter went out and wept bitterly. There was the following and there was the weeping. There was the following and the weeping collectively of the crowd. And there is the following and there is the weeping of the individual. But the weeping for the collective group was after Him, for Him. When He turned and said, "You don't need to weep for me. You better start weeping for yourself. And that takes you back to the individuality of Peter. And what's Peter now doing? He is now weeping for himself. Frosty dealt with it this morning, and I said, oh boy, Holy Spirit, you sure did it again. He put his Sunday school lesson right with this message. In chapter 22, verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word. Peter remembered the word. How he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter remembered the word. Peter, I warned you. I tried to prepare you. What do you think this message is for this morning? It's for the preparation of my own heart. There's things that's happening today that if I obey it, I'm going to have to close my Bible and not preach it. Did you hear what I said? There's laws being passed today, right now, as we sit here, that if I preach it, I'm going to pay dearly for it, and so is this church. If I obey the laws, I'll have to close my Bible and not preach anymore. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Remembering the word. I warned you. I tried to prepare you. I instructed you. I told you what was coming. You blipped it off and arrogantly said, I'll be with you to the end. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be in my court. That's never going to happen. You're wrong. But Peter, you remember now I was right. And the weeping came individually. But individually makes up collectively. Remembering the word of the Lord is trying to get us prepared. Trying to get us prepared for eternity. And there's so many people today that's got so much distance between them and Christ. So much distance. And they got too many chairs. When you are at a gathering, you try to hide your faith. I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying as a general inquisitive. When you are alone, you're a Christian. You have no one to impress. I told the students at Marietta, you are who you are when you are alone. You are who you are when you are alone. That's who you really are. But when we are out and we are with family, we are with friends, we are with people that have no faith, do we try to put our faith exemplified before others, or do we try to hide it? When people question us, do you belong? You go to that First Baptist Church? You go up there? That First Baptist Church? Well, they preach against things up there that today's society has come to accept. They preach things up there that's not acceptable in our world today. what kind of a response comes. I believe those same things. I stand, yes, I stand with God. I stand with His Word. I stand with my church. Yes. Oh, well, you know, our preacher's a little old-fashioned. I've heard him say it! Our preacher's a little old-fashioned, and he's a little bit old, from the old school. God's not old-fashioned, and God's not from the old school, and God's Word has not changed, and God's principles have not changed. Peter, I warned you. I told you. I tried to prepare you. Now look where you are. Look at the condition you're in. There's a collective group following. But collective groups are made of individuals. And who did God pull out of a collective group to make an example? The main leader. And if it can happen to the main leader, it certainly can happen to any follower. And that's who they come after first, is the leaders. If they can squelch the leaders, they think they can squelch it all. It didn't happen in Romania because they went after the leaders. And many of the leaders buckled and gave in. One way you would know in Romania, if a person gave in, they would have things that nobody else had. And the communists made sure they was greatly rewarded when they got things, received things. And boy, did they ever sell out. But some of those old people, some of those old Germans in there, some of those old Italians, some of those old people that had their faith rooted deep, their love deep rooted, would not budge. And those are the people that found themselves behind bars. And most of them died behind those bars. I want to tell you the devil is coming after Christianity. And I'm not talking about playing ceremony. I'm talking about the old-fashioned, real, biblical Christianity of the Bible. Satan is coming after us because he knows he has but a short time. And he is attempting to shut down. And he is attempting to stifle and to stop the preaching of the Word of God. And everything that the Word of God is against, he is out there in his world promoting it and promoting it and promoting it. And when we preach it, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I still say in the beginning, God made a man and a woman. Anything other than that is not of God. I say in the beginning, God made a man and God made a woman. And anything other than that is not of God. It's something that man created. And any man that's got a perverted mind to let a man go into a little girl's bathroom better go check himself into a moral, not a mental, but he better go check himself into a moral hospital. To allow a man to go into a girl or girl's bathroom, a pervert. The Bible condemns the shedding of innocent blood. The Bible condemns it. And if you speak out against it, you're an enemy. I'm saying to you today, God has put us on warning. He's had us on warning for years. People are not paying any attention to it. People are not listening. And people are going to find themselves just like Peter. I want to tell you, you go over to the next chapter, the crowd is not being questioned. The crowd doesn't have to make a decision. They went to the point to behold Him. To behold Him. We better heed the warning of God, lest we find ourselves in this predicament. Don't weep for me. There's a day coming. You better start weeping for yourself. As we prepare for Easter and the celebration of it, we go back now to chapter 23. Verse 34. Father, forgive. Father, forgive. Chapter 22, verse 62. Peter went out and wept bitterly. Thank God there's always forgiveness. Because that's what the cross is all about. If you follow Christ and you stay true to Christ, it'll always take you to Calvary. It'll always take you to the person. The cross was His program. He that was on it was the person of God in man's place. But the cross is all about forgiveness. The cross is all about being forgiven. And there's where the crowd went to. The crowd that followed Him and the crowd that was instructed, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves, were instructed. And as He went on and came to Calvary and there they crucified Him, the crowd stood beholding Him. And they're the ones that heard out of His lips the first thing, forgive them. Forgive them. And Peter found forgiveness. Crowds are made up by individuals. Individuals. Let me ask you something this morning. Is there a distance between your heart and Christ? Is there a distance? I challenge my own heart and the heart of all of us in here and by way of Facebook to build a relationship with Christ in these latter days like John the Apostle had. He laid his head upon the bosom of Christ, and he's the one that stood while all the other apostles were gone. It was John that stood with the crowd and looked and beheld Him. The crowd followed Him all the way to Calvary. And the crowd all the way to Calvary, beheld Him. Beheld Him. That's what Easter is all about. Looking at Christ. Christ is not on the cross today. That's a semblance. That's a semblance. But Christ is not on any cross today. Christ is in heaven. He's the victor. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not on any wooden cross. Take a good look at Him. It's Easter time. Take a good look at Him. It's Easter time. It says in verse 35, and the people stood beholding Him. If you're going to behold Him, then you've got to stop. So you can stand and take a look. Not just a gaze. Beholding Him. That means to engulf. To get it. That I'm captured. Beholding Him. They can't do that continuing moving. They had to stand to gain a look at the One that would bring only Him to the world forgiveness. If I'm standing, I can hear. If I'm standing, I can see. Jonathan Michael said the other night on Woodsong, he said, it's been said, music stops all the fighting in the world. Music is the element that stops all quarrels and fighting and bickering in the world. It's music. Because if people stop and listen to the music, they can't be fighting. They can't be bickering. They can't be arguing. If they are listening, they can't be fighting. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The people stood. I want to tell you, my friend, Offenberger didn't put the Bible together. The Holy Spirit did. While the people stood, Peter sat. While the people stood, Peter sat. And when the time came to look and behold, Peter wasn't there. Peter wasn't there. He's trying to get right with the Lord. Forgive them. Forgive them. That's what Calvary's all about. That's what Easter's all about. And the devil comes along, gets Easter bunnies and eggs and collars them and everything like that. And churches today don't preach on the resurrection. They preach on we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We're going out and hunt Easter eggs. Listen, if I wanted to find eggs, we always went to the chicken coop. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what this is all about. It's all about forgiveness. Easter is all about being forgiven. It's the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. So there is a difference between the crowd and the individual of the crowd. There it is. Both followed. Both wept. Both beheld. But one at the cross. The other in repentance. The other one in repentance. Now next Sunday morning, my message is going to be this. Chapter 23, verse 42. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me. I don't care if we got 1 million, 100,000, or whatever the number of the crowd might be. It's all made up of individuals. Because the cross was not only about forgiveness, but the cross was about the individual forgiveness. God don't forgive collectively. He forgives individually. That's the beauty of Calvary. Hallelujah. So next Sunday's message is going to be, remember me. Oh, many years ago, my friends, I asked the Lord who was nothing. I was nothing but I've said it and I meant it. And it's true. Nothing but a piece of garbage laying alongside the road. All was. When I heard the gospel for the first time in my life, July 3rd, 1978, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Thank God. Calvary. About forgiveness and about the individual. Because in a crowd, you have individuality. Now, there's people today that's like Peter. And there's people today like the crowd. They follow to the end. They follow to the end. To behold, they follow to the end. And then there's people like Peter that get sidetracked and put distance. You know who those people are? people that pay no attention to this book. Christ tried to warn Peter, tried to prepare Peter, tried to tell Peter, tried to encourage, he tried to instruct Peter. That's the people that find themselves at a distance. People that don't pay any attention to this. That's where they find themselves. And I want to tell you, my friends, this preacher is left in a dilemma. And this church is left in a dilemma. Are we going to stand for the old fundamentals of the faith in this book and what contains in it? Or are we going to bow the knee to Caesar? What are you going to do individually? This church is made up collectively, but what are you going to do individually? What are you going to do? When they come to your door and say, "Do you believe in transgender is okay?" What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Do you believe that abortion is legal and okay? What are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Better get ready. Better get ready. This is the devil's world. This is the devil's world. And we better wake up to the fact that it's going to get worse and worse and worse. This is not a time to be sitting. This is a time to be standing, beholding Him. Standing, beholding Him. Listening to His instructions. And being as close as possible by the grace of God to live for Him. Next Sunday, remember me. Remember me. All right. I'll be up front here again if anybody needs to speak with me. Shall we stand? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God this morning. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that was our teacher and our guide into the truths of this day. Lord, we're living in most difficult times, most difficult days. We're living in most difficult, struggling as a Christian, as Christians, as Your people find themselves in. The closer we get to God, the further we are from this world. But the closer we are to this world, the further we are from You. Help us to learn today from the life of Peter, a very important man in Your program, a very important man in the crowd, but wasn't in the crowd to behold Him. His eyes were filled with tears because he simply would not listen. And he beheld You in repentance. Lord, help us today, we pray. Help us today, we pray, to heed the warning, instruction of Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You'd have Your perfect work and Your perfect will in all of our lives as we prepare to come to meet Thee. This world prepares to meet the false Christ, the Antichrist. So Lord, help us, we pray. Bless our church and watch over and protect it in these latter days. Oh God, we cover us over with Thy precious blood. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning.